Hey, welcome back, everybody. This is Bill Crockett. We're going to continue our series called Let's Talk Marriage. And we're on lesson number 5, which is entitled Roles and Responsibility in Marriage. There's a lot of talk about in the scripture about the role of the husband and the wife, and even the man and the woman as parents. And we're going to try and look at all three of those roles as we continue our series. So let's go ahead. I'm going to pull up our notes, and we will begin today talking about roles and responsibilities in marriage. So what are those? Well, as we begin this part of our counseling, I want us to, first of all, unpack what roles really are. What are they? Why are they important? And then let's lay a foundation for successfully fulfilling our roles in marriage. In any organization that seeks to accomplish a goal and has more than one human being involved, there must be roles. A job description, the part that each person plays in the overall success of the organization. If we're a part of that organization, it's imperative that we understand our role or part in the organization and the responsibilities that come with that role. Sports teams have roles, positions, and responsibilities. Businesses and companies have roles. There's CEOs, a CFO, a COO, managers, employees, etc. Governments have roles. The president, the vice president, federal leaders, state leaders, local leaders. Our legal system has roles. Attorneys, judges, state supreme courts, federal supreme court. Even our schools have roles, principals, teachers, and students. Roles are a vital part of any successful organization or institution. So, what is a role? Well, the term role, as defined by the Merriam-Webster Dictionary, is simply this: a character assigned or assumed. I had to take on the role of both father and mother. It's also defined as a socially expected behavior pattern, usually determined by an individual's status in a particular society, a part played by an actor or singer, or a function or part performed especially in a particular operation or process. I played a major role in the negotiations. Roles are simply the part we play in our particular situation. For our study, that situation is the home. So why are the roles in marriage so important? Well, roles include responsibility and accountability. What is my job, my responsibility, and who am I accountable to? For more than 20 years, I worked in corporate sales, both as a salesperson and a sales manager. During that time, I was a part of 3 different organizations. And regardless of the organization I was working for or the position I held at the time, I was given a job description and I had someone I had to answer to for my performance. In any institution, there has to be someone to make decisions and to be held accountable for the results. Responsibility and accountability are critical to the success of any institution. And that's why understanding our role in the home is so important. At this point, I want to talk about the misunderstanding about roles in the home. So let me address a common misunderstanding in the interpretation of the roles of husband and wife relative to their responsibility and accountability in the home. First of all, responsibility does not mean dictatorship. Just because one person is responsible to make the decision and is held accountable for the result, it does not mean that others are not involved in the decision-making process. Just because the husband is given the responsibility by God for the decisions in the home, it does not mean that the wife and children cannot, and by the way, should not be involved in the decision-making process. On the contrary, it would be foolish not to involve them. So that's a big misunderstanding. Responsibility is not dictatorship. Number 2, responsibility does not mean superiority. Responsibility doesn't mean that the one assigned the responsibility is superior to the others. For our purposes, the husband is not superior to the wife, just because God holds him accountable for the decisions in the home. In my experience, the wife, in many cases, can be much more knowledgeable about certain things than the husband. For example, if the wife is a trained financial investor and accountant, while the husband has absolutely no experience with managing money in any situation, while the husband is still held accountable by God for the management of the finances in the home, he would be foolish not to let his wife help make the decisions and probably let her manage the finances. He would be very wise to listen to her when it comes to making those decisions. In this scenario, I think we would all agree the wife is the superior money manager, though the husband is the one God holds accountable. The fact is, the man needs the woman and the woman needs the man. Look what God says. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 11 and 12. But among the Lord's people, women are not independent of men, and men are not independent of women. For although the first woman came from man, every other man was born from a woman. And here's the important part. And everything comes from God. Paul puts it simply, men and women need each other. One is not more important than the other. We have different God-given roles in the home, and these roles address our responsibility in the home, not our rank. When we live as God designed us to, life is good and fulfilled. That's why it's so important that we understand the role that God has designed for each of us to play in marriage. So, what is the foundation of successful roles in marriage? In Ephesians chapter 5 and 6, God describes for us the roles that he has given in marriage. However, in order to understand how the instruction in chapters 5 and 6 works, we must first understand the context in which those verses were written. This will give us the foundation that must be laid before fulfilling these roles as possible. First of all, what is the book of Ephesians? Well, it's a letter written by the Apostle Paul while he was under house arrest in Rome for preaching about Jesus, and it's divided into two parts. Chapters 1 through 3 talk about the foundational truths of Christianity, our salvation by grace and not by works, God's unending love for us, his patience and long-suffering with us, his good plan for us, which was that through Jesus, we would all be a part of his family. And these truths more lay the foundation of why we can have confidence that God loves us, even when we stumble, and he wants us to live a peaceful life following him. So that's what chapters 1 through 3 basically teach us. Now, chapters 4 through 6 talk about how we're supposed to live in light of these truths. One of the greatest truths we glean from the two sections together is that when we try to live for God and fail, God forgives us, but he still loves us. He wants us to get up and keep going. He also teaches us about the roles in the body of Christ. Ephesians 4:16. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. Here it is, as each part does its own special work. We all have a job to do in the body of Christ. And when we do it, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. He shows us it's important for each person in the family of God to use the gift God gave them in order for the whole body to be healthy. The same is true with our part in marriage. So it is in these preceding chapters and verses that we find the foundation for fulfilling our roles in marriage as husband and wife and parents. So let me list them for us. Number one, both husband and wife must be a believer and a follower of Jesus Christ. Ephesians 1:1. This letter is from Paul, chosen by the will of God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus. I am writing, notice who he's writing to, God's holy people in Ephesus, who are faithful followers of Christ Jesus. In the very first verse of this book, Paul tells us that he is writing this letter to people who are God's holy people, meaning they are believers in Jesus Christ, Christians. He also points out that they are faithful followers of Christ Jesus. In other words, they desire to live the way Jesus lived and obey God's word in their life. And it's critical that both parties to marriage are believers and that they desire to live for God. If they're not, the marriage most likely will fail. Listen to what Paul told the people in Corinth in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 and 15. Don't team up with those who are unbelievers. How can righteousness be a partner with wickedness? How can light live with darkness? What harmony can there be between Christ and the devil? Here it is. How can a believer be a partner with an unbeliever? So first of all, both husband and wife must be believers. Number two, both husband and wife must desire to do what pleases God. Ephesians 5 and verse 10. Carefully determine, Paul says, what pleases the Lord. That has to be our motto in everything we do in life, that we have to determine, especially when making decisions, what would please the Lord. Living for God and doing what God wants them to do must be a priority for both husband and wife. If not, then you're constantly going to be at odds when trying to make decisions. One will want to do what God says, while the other will be more concerned and selfish or material about selfishness and material results. When we please the Lord, he makes everything work out. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 7. When people's lives please the Lord, even their enemies are at peace with them. Look at Matthew 6, verses 31 through 33. So don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat, what will we drink, or what will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. They worry about these things. But your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. That's why it's so important that the husband and the wife both want to do what pleases God, and they don't worry about things and materialistic parts of life. God will take care of that. Now, foundational truth number three, both husband and wife must desire to grow in their faith, learning to live the way God wants us to live. Look at Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. Therefore, I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. By the way, we're going to come back to that later on when we talk about conflict. And let me tell you, learning to be patient with each other and to make allowances for each other's faults is one of the greatest evidences of your love for each other and is critical to the success in marriage. Verse 3, make every effort to keep yourself united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. God wants there to be peace in your home, not war and conflict. Notice the importance of living like a Christian, which includes being patient with each other and making allowances for each other's mistakes because you love each other. Living for God is a process of growth throughout our lives, not a state of existence that we ultimately reach on this earth. For that reason, we have to realize we're going to make mistakes and fail at times. The key is to get up and keep going in the right direction without giving up. Paul also says that we should make every effort to keep the peace because that's what holds us together. I can tell you, if these simple truths were followed seriously, many failed marriages would probably survive. But the key is that both husband and wife must want this and work toward this. It doesn't work without both people being on board. Remember, God says marriage is a husband and a wife becoming one. That's why it's so important that you make sure you marry the right person. These three simple principles are the foundational key to having a successful marriage and fulfilling our role in marriage, in the marriage relationship. Without both husband and wife being on the same page, marriage is going to be extremely difficult and possibly fail. So in conclusion, leadership, responsibility, and accountability are a part of how God made his creation. So why is it when it comes to marriage, we think that roles are unnecessary, that they're discriminating, offensive, or even evil? Is not marriage a situation involving more than one human with a goal in mind? Decisions have to be made for the good of the marriage and those involved. Actions have to be taken relative to managing finances, raising children, deciding whether to take a job offer or not, etc. Roles are just as critical to the success of a marriage as they are to the success of a team, a business, or a government. Someone has to make the decisions, and someone has to be held accountable for the result. I believe the answer to the confusion about roles in marriage is partially due to the distortion of these roles by the world and those who do not believe or know the Bible. In order for one to understand what God means when he describes the roles in marriage, one must be a believer and a follower of Jesus, both desiring to please God and do what the Bible says. People who are not think that the teaching of the Bible is foolish because they don't understand what God's saying and they don't want to understand. Look at 1 Corinthians 2:14. But people who aren't spiritual can't receive these truths from God's Spirit. Look at this. It all sounds foolish to them, and they can't understand it. For only those who are spiritual can understand what the Spirit means. Next time, we're going to dive into the specifics of the God-given role of the husband in marriage. And then following that, we'll dive into what the role of the wife looks like. Once again, I want to thank you for joining. I hope that these lessons are a blessing to you and they're helping you as you prepare for marriage, or maybe you're listening to these and you're already married, and hopefully these will help you to be able to continue to strengthen your marriage as you walk together with God. Let's pray and we'll close. Father, thank you for your word. Please use it to strengthen our lives and our marriages. In Jesus' name, amen.